Hello and good day, everyone. This is the First Pioneers Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Finkel, and I'm joined here by my co-host,
Ryan Schwenk, the Japan hobbyist out of Yokohama, Japan.
All right, so this is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we like to keep our listeners up to date with whatever is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. So, we're just coming into a very interesting week from Pioneer players. The format's only been out, I think, 3 weeks now, and we are getting our first information on bans. So, we're recording this Friday evening. Well, evening for me, it's Saturday morning for you there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had about a week to process these bans. You know, every other podcast out there, you know, it used to be that when we were the Frontier podcast, we were the only ones talking about Frontier. Now we've got some competition. So, I feel like everyone's talked bans to death about, like, hey, what's changed, what's different in this new world of meta, at least a little bit. So we're not going to go too deep on that. We're going to talk a little bit about the bannings today, but the topic I want to bring up is something I've been hearing people ask, is like, what won't get banned? What is a deck that's safe for me to invest into right now?
Yeah,
it'll stay relevant, it won't get banned out, it will hopefully stay popular, in like, it'll stay powerful, so it's something that's not likely to, oh, it's only good against this top deck, and if that top deck gets banned, then it's gone.
Yeah, you're going to have to ban that squeaky toy from your dog pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. You know, I took away the the big one. She found another one.
Okay.
Let me grab this from her, or we're going to be hearing that the entire podcast here. I got to get me a silent room or something. Okay. Actually, you know, my wife offered to use
but,
her
yeah, by the way, episode 2 was pretty good. I listened to that the other day. Sorry I couldn't show up for that one.
Yeah, so last episode we talked with an SCG grinder, and we were going over what you should do to prepare for SCG Con just around the corner here. You know, a little bit of that's going to be invalidated because of the fact that these bans came out. You know, I think we had kind of settled on Green Devotion being a great deck to go to, and I guess WotC agreed, because that's one of the cards that was banned, is the Leyline of Abundance out of the Green Devotion deck is the first of three cards banned in this Pioneer format.
And it has the least impact, I would think, because it only affects one deck.
Yeah, that's a very targeted ban that was very clearly going just for that.
That was a good choice, I think.
Yeah, that deck was absolutely insane. And what's nice is that that doesn't kill that deck or that archetype. Mm-hmm. I think Ramp is still very good, and it's still been showing good results. The other one that really got hit and is clearly targeting a single deck is the Saheeli. Well, yeah, okay, so Felidar Guardian was banned, which to me, I'm not a big fan of. I would have preferred that Saheeli Rai was banned. But yes, Felidar Guardian of the Saheeli Rai combo is now banned out as well.
Yeah, so maybe eventually, I don't know what needs to happen for it to come back, you know, but you know, it could show up sometime again in the future when, you know, the format has a little bit of a deeper pool with more answers. But it's probably good right now because everyone knows that was the de facto best deck. And towards the end of Frontier, everybody was playing either Saheeli or Mono Red. So
yeah, I thought you know, what we kind of said in our first episode is that if Saheeli wasn't too good now, that it would be soon. Like, as Mono gets better, that deck's only going to get stronger. Yeah. Sorry, my dog is being a complete nut right now. I'm trying to get her away from where I'm recording.
And of course, the last one that got banned was the Oath of Nissa. And we all kind of thought this was kind of like, kind of strange, but you know, the more that I think about it, the more that I read about, you know, the reasoning behind it, I think it's probably a good idea because people were playing Once Upon a Time, and then
Once Upon a Time plus Oath of Nissa. That's a lot of redundancy in that kind of search effect. So if you've only got a few powerful creatures, a few, you know, you got lots of different kinds of mana, that really lets you fix that. So what's interesting for me is that the two decks that we're most using, Oath of Nissa, were the Green Devotion deck and the Saheeli Rai deck, and both of those kind of already got their combo, quote-unquote, banned out. So it's interesting that they're also banning that. I think the other deck that really takes a hit from it and is a good thing that it's taking a hit from it is the Kethis combo was heavily using that Oath of Nissa.
And I think also, like, Super Friends, everyone's just playing, like, five-color good stuff.
Sure, I mean, not everyone was doing it, but it was possible. The four-color Saheeli deck was a four-color Good Stuff Walkers deck, and most of that shell still exists. You know, you can still play the Oko, the Teferi, and if you had Oath of Nissa, that would be very strong still.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's a nice transition into kind of, let's look at, if we want to talk about what won't get banned, let's see, from these first bans, what do you think about WotC's ban philosophy in Pioneer? Like,
the weekly one, you mean?
Well, sure, yeah, they're doing a weekly, but I mean, about these specific bans, would you say, looking at these three bans, that they're only banning on power level, or do you think that there's other things going into their decisions here?
I think they want to, A, try to get rid of a card that is making the format unfun, which, like, Abundance basically did, because, hey, I have, like, 20 power on turn 3. What are you going to do? like that sort of thing. Unless you're playing a black deck with, like, Fatal Push, Fatal Push, Fatal Push, you know, or like Thassies, you know, on those plays, then you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, I agree. I think Abundance fits into the category of being, you know, power level. When we look at the data that they put out for how good this deck was doing against the rest of the field, I think it's a good reason why they did that. When I look at the other two, it's not quite as high. So Sahelia Ride did have a very good win rate, and that win rate was high despite having a very losing win rate against Green Devotion. So you know, against the rest of the field, it had a higher win rate there. So I think power level is reasonable there, but I also kind of see that as it's an A plus B combo. So that to me kind of says, like, if more of those exists in the future, or if they exist right now, which not quite to that level, but, you know, there's a couple things I'll talk about in a little bit as being A plus B combos. You know, you've got this card plus this card, that's
the Saheeli deck on the spot.
Yeah, the Saheeli deck was one of those, and if they're banning that, that might mean that other A plus B combos are likely to get banned, even if they aren't at the same power level that one was.
Yeah, and like we said before about, like, the Oath of Nyssa and the Once Upon a Time, there's just too much consistency, and I think that's another problem, is, like, you know, when you can always get your combo piece, or always, I mean, it's a pretty high percentage when you're looking at 7 cards on top of the 7 you already have in your hand. Is it 7 or is it 8?
It's Once Upon a Time is 5 cards. And, you know, I've done the math once. I should probably post that somewhere. Is that I think it was like 90% chance of having a turn 1 Elvish Mystic or Llanowar Elf if you've got the 5 Once Upon a Time, or the 4 Once Upon a Times, the 8 Elves, and you know, you're including Mulligan decisions.
Yeah, and it just totally takes, I would say, the luck factor out of playing, you know.
Yeah, so it's a consistency thing. So I think that when we're looking at what else is or isn't safe, we should probably look at things that make the game play out in the same way every time. So even something that I don't think is very powerful, like Approach of the Second Sun, if every game is ending because, oh, this player is approaching and there's nothing I can possibly do to stop it, or if it's, you know, Sphinx Revelation and Elixir, if that kind of deck became popular, I feel like that's the kind of thing that people would ban out, not because it's so highly rated against the rest of the field, but because every time you play with or against that deck, it's going to play out the same way, the same early turns, the same late turns.
Yeah, so anything with, like, very low interaction would probably have, you know, the possibility of, you know, getting a ban in the future, I would think.
And I think the last category that I would kind of look at as being on the watch list because of how Leyline of Abundance worked is I would look at Fast Mana. So even if I don't think there's a deck breaking it right now, I think that Mox Amber is probably on somebody's watch list for that reason.
Oh, like the SRAM, Aetherflux Reservoir combo?
Yeah, you know, it's being played in SRAM. It's being played in Kathis. There's probably some Emery decks out there with it. I don't know. Like, I don't think that right something. Now. Yeah. Right now, I don't think it's broken. But no. I think that if Fast Mana is ever good, that it's something that WotC's currently showed that they're going to target it quickly. They're not going to let it continue to be too strong, because
I was going to say it all depends on what they print. And, you know, as we have learned with past, eternal formats, is that as the pool gets deeper and deeper and deeper, it's easier and easier to break cards.
Yeah.
So definitely I could agree on that.
So based on those categories that I've kind of been saying, do you think that there are other decks that would really be on your watch list or cards? Especially if they've got any that aren't like, you know, this is a broken deck right now, but it's like, hey, this is something that I think WotC's watching for because of how it plays.
Yeah, definitely. I went through all the cards that are currently kind of seeing play or have seen play in the past, and I'm thinking, like, this card probably has a small chance, maybe even a big chance of, you know, seeing the hammer in the future.
All right, so what are some of your examples?
Well, I know that everyone thought that Aetherworks was going to be really bad in Pioneer. They thought that, you know, you're getting down that, you know, turn 4 Emrakul, or sorry, even a turn 3 Emrakul, I guess maybe that's possible, if you know, if you get
not, it's
probably not, it's probably turn 4,
not really, yeah.
Yeah, but I figured people would think that's kind of broken. That's really powerful play. You know, the Saheeli deck was kind of, you know, outpacing it. It was too fast, and that's why no one was playing it. But I feel, and also, of course, like the abundance, how could I say it? The abundance devotion deck was also a lot faster than it. But now that those are both out of the picture, I could see this as being like the next big card. This is where all the ramp players will move to.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. I think ramp is still good, so they might stay there if that's the kind of deck they liked. Now, this is where I really wish that our other host, Matt, was on here, because I'd kind of had a hot take this week when we were planning out what we were going to talk about, and he totally disagreed with me. I was looking at Aetherworks Marvel, and I was saying, you know what, Marvel, that card I don't think is broken. I don't think they're going to ban Marvel because, well, here, let me finish, because, you know, there's a lot of ways to fight it, you know, all of the Pithing Needle effects fight it. There's that in Sorcerer's Spyglass.
And there's also the Artifact Destroy effects. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, those are decent against it, not perfect. The fact that Teferi shuts it down is really the hugest thing that really keeps it from being that good. So it makes it pretty easy to fight it, even main deck. What I was saying, though, is that the card I would look more at, which might kill the deck, is Attune with the Aether. So this was a card that was banned in Standard, and when I'm looking at it in Frontier, it's really only being used in those like four color decks, and it's allowing people to play mana of a lot of different colors. And if I'm looking at what WotC's watching, you know, they banned the fetches, they've banned this Oath of Nissa, which wasn't, you know, on paper powerful, but I don't think they want it to be that easy to just play whatever colors, whatever cards you want in your deck. And right now, Attune's one of the only things that's really letting you do that. So in those Marvel decks, which are three color usually, we're seeing it in Ascendancy. We're seeing it in some of these three or four color Planeswalker decks. So it's kind of popping up in exactly the places that I think WotC's looking at. So for me, that's...
If that were to get banned, that card would be banned, basically. So
yeah, you know, the energy shell's pretty cheap. So if you're building, like, green-red energy, I don't think you have to be too worried. But it is a card that for me would be like, maybe down the road, let's watch out for that, because it might get pulled out from under your feet.
Well, here's one more thing, is that a lot of these past super powerful Standard decks were very self-contained. Energy is never going to get more energy cards, for example. No,
we can go back to Kaladesh one day, but it'll be interesting how they can...
But yeah. Usually when they go back, when they went back to, like, you know, Ravnica or whatever, you know, they maybe, I guess there was some Convoke, maybe that was in the core set, though. Like, core set maybe can give you, like, one or two things. But we're never going to have, like, more cards that we can add to this archetype. It's always going to have that same core.
Yeah, it's a very tough mechanic to just splash somewhere.
Basically, the only thing you'll be adding to it is, like, new, more powerful creatures. And I don't know if you can ever go more powerful than Ulamog and Emrakul.
Yeah, so. So some mana consistency, early removal, stuff like that might help it. But
like,
yeah,
if they had this format started like 6 months ago, Aetherworks might have been like a bigger problem. Now, not so much. It's still on the radar, I would say.
Definitely, yeah. And I think that's reasonable to keep it on the radar. I don't think that the card will get banned, but I can see why it might be on the radar. Let's talk combos, though, as long as we're talking that. So I was saying, like, A plus B combos in particular, for me, seem like they're dangerous. So the only one that I can really think of that's kind of a two-card, you win the game combo is Ascendancy, Sylvan Awakening.
Yeah.
Do you think that could get banned? Or Ascendancy, Retraction Helix also does that job.
Yeah, I mean, it's turn four kill if they don't have any kind of interaction. It is hard to interact with enchantments, which is also a problem. I mean, people are packing some enchantment hate, though.
Yeah, they are. There is enchantment hate. Counter spells are also probably pretty good there.
And we get... I was going to say... Now, what other cards shut it down? I mean, if we had...
There is good hate. So, I mean, we're not trying to go into a whole episode. We could do a whole episode on how to hate some of these combo decks, but stuff like Deafening Silence does a really good job of it.
Well, Deafening Silence doesn't kill the creatures. They're all indestructible.
Well, sure, but they can't... They can only cast one spell, so they're just 2/2s then.
Okay, like if you did it at instant speed or something with Teferi?
No, Deafening Silence is the one-mana enchantment.
Oh, Deafening Silence. Okay. I was thinking Deafening Clarion.
Oh, no.
yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess that would definitely work. That was printed recently.
Yeah, Narset is good hate for there because they can't loot or, you know, do all their draw stuff.
That also
some
stops
of the graveyard stuff doesn't hurt.
I was going to say, she also stops the new Possibility Storm deck.
That's more Teferi stops that, I think. I guess, yeah, if you're going to draw your entire library, that stops that. So, yeah, you're the one who kind of brought that to the West by sharing that on Twitter.
Yeah, if
and
you guys...
I feel... I'm so mad because I was so close on that deck. You know, we were brewing in the Discord, and we're like, hey, you know, we could Possibility Storm and grab Enter the Infinite. And we're like, yeah, but is there any way to win from there? Like, we didn't get that last piece. We're like, yeah, you can do this, but then you just got all these cards in your hand. You're doing nothing. That extra step of Borborygmos and the... do we want to quick go over that combo if anyone doesn't know what we're talking
about? Yeah, I mean, well, let me just kind of tell everybody. Yeah, you can thank me for, you know, bringing that to Saffron Olive's attention. So I went to an event, I believe, on Monday. It was a holiday here in Japan. It's like 30-person tournaments at Shinjite in Yokohama. And the winner that went 5-0 was this... you know, Possibility Storm. I'm like, how the heck does this work? And then, like, you know, I talked to the guy, the Japanese guy that was there, and he's like, well, you know, you play this, this, and this. So you have basically some Planeswalkers, you got some Mana Dorks, you have a lot of adventure spells that have either sorcery or creature, and you play a Possibility Storm, which makes it so that you can't play the spell you want to play, you have to play the next spell in your deck.
Yeah, so whenever any player casts a spell, it exiles it, and then you go searching through your library for the next spell of that type. So with the adventure cards, you're casting a sorcery, but it's not actually a sorcery, so you find another copy, it'll just go by it.
In the
it'll
deck, they're creatures.
All the way through your deck, and there's only the one sorcery, which is Enter the Infinite, which makes you draw your entire library. So once you're there, it also lets you put one card back on top. So they put Borborygmos back on top, and then you play any creature, including a free Hangerback Walker.
Or Ballista.
Again,
Ballista.
Yeah. Again, it will look at the top of your deck, find Borborygmos, and cast that instead. And now you've got him in
like
play.
20 lands in your hand.
Yeah, 20 lands. You can discard those all and deal 60 damage to your opponent.
Yeah, maybe not 20, but maybe more like 10 or 15. But still, yeah, it's hilarious. Because, you know, Saffron Allen was playing that on his Against the Odds, I think, like last week. And he, like, turned three somebody, I believe.
Yep, I was watching that stream. He did indeed turn three.
Hilarious.
Yeah, now, let's go back to the topic. Is that too powerful of a combo, or is that an A plus B combo that we should be worried about?
I don't know. I was thinking, too. I had it on my list. Like, I don't think it would ever see a lot of play. I think, you know, you could definitely hate it out with, I know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Teferi, especially.
Yeah, maybe Teferi, but yeah, I'm trying to think. Do we have like a Surgical Extraction effect, maybe? You know, like Lost Legacy or...
Yeah, we've got a lot of those. You know,
Slaughter Games is another one, maybe.
The blue-black one's probably the best, Unmoored Ego.
Yeah, Unmoored Ego. So, I mean, you have those types of effects, which is, hey, call your Possibility Storm, and then they have to hard cast, you know, their Enter the Infinite and Borborygmos, and that's like game
they're
over.
They're four basically. Blue casting cost in a green-red deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, pretty much impossible. So I think that's not as hard to hate out, because I think that also, like, people playing those kind of Surgical Extraction type effects would also be effective against Jeskai Ascendancy.
Yeah, you know, those are just good hate cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, for any of these combo decks, I think that those are pretty good. So, okay, those are kind of the, can you think of any more, like, A plus B combos that are, you've got these two cards, or maybe three cards, and you win the game?
Would you consider Rally the Ancestors an A plus B combo deck?
No, not really. I think you really do have to build around it, and the fact that it uses the graveyard as part of its combo really makes that hateable.
Mm-hmm. Easier to hate out.
There's just so many ways to interact with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think, other than like the Possibility Storm and the Jeskai Ascendancy, I can't think of anything else that just kind of goes off and like you win.
Yeah, and there's certainly nothing that you can just, you know, hey, I'm just going to slot this in whatever other deck.
I mean, would the Aetherflux Reservoir / Slam Shrams... you know, Artificer, would that deck be kind of considered A plus B combo?
No, I don't think so. I think, again, you know, you're spending your whole deck building around it. It's not like Saheeli where you've only got, you know, you've got the shell of a control deck and you're just putting in these two cards and that's your win con.
Yeah. You need a whole bunch of stuff to work to make it work, basically. It's easier to disrupt. Yeah. I can't think of any other A plus B combos then.
Okay. So, yeah, not too much you have to worry about, but if one of those comes up in the future and you guys are thinking, should I buy into this deck? Maybe that's a reason to think twice, is that they've proven they're going to say no to it. Yeah. As far as fast mana, can you think of anything else that's like crazy fast mana acceleration?
Well, I mean, Nykthos is always giving you, like, really big mana. Like, especially the green one when they have, like, what was the Satyr? Not the Wayfinder.
Voyaging Satyr.
Voyaging Satyr that untaps and then taps. And now we also have, Nissa in there that untaps and then taps again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the five mana Nissa, the who shakes the world, I think.
Yeah, so would you say that Nykthos is probably still on a watch list?
Yeah, but see, like, red is not that broken. You know, the mono black, I think it plays it, but it's not super broken in that deck either. Mono blue, I think, plays it, and I think it only really is used to, like, make something unblockable, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's as bad. And now we have Field of Ruin as a way to kind of take that out.
We do, but that's also tough.
We have Assassin's Trophy.
I'm kind of
going
to agree with you in that, like, I think it's probably still on a watch list. I wouldn't buy deep into it if that's going to break your bank.
Yeah.
But I do think that I'm very glad it wasn't the card that was banned out of that deck, because it's so much a fun card, and it does fun things in other decks as well.
Yeah. Like, I think even if it does get banned, once they print some kind of, you know, like, land hate again, it would come back in an instant. Like, if we get a Tectonic Edge or Ghost Quarters or whatever, something other than Field of Ruin, then I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, what about Wilderness Reclamation? Is that a card you think would be on a watch list at all? You know, if you're a big fan of, like, Temur Reclamation or Bant, either blue-green or Bant Nexus?
Yeah, see, I would think Nexus is the more problem card than
I would agree. I think that banning out either part of it would probably kill the deck, but I'm just curious if, you know, while we're on the topic of fast mana, do you think that Reclamation is something to worry about, or do you think it's only a problem in those Nexus decks specifically?
I think it's only a problem in those decks, being able to, like, go extra turn, extra turn, extra turn, you know, like, what, on turn four or something like that, mm-hmm. is pretty broken. And now we also have to worry about Maze's End. You know, that's just adding more consistency to the deck with Nexus of Fate, you know, being able to play another land to get, like, the Maze's End win.
Yeah, you know, in some ways, that's almost a two-card combo. Is kind of a, you know, really, it's Tamiyo plus Wilderness Reclamation, although the third part there is just re-looping Nexus of Fate.
So, yeah, I would choose Nexus of Fate. I just hate playing against Nexus of Fate decks, and I think it's...
And I think a lot of people do, you know, it's a lot of shuffling, especially in paper.
Yeah, and it's unfun. You know, that's, like, one of the things that Wizards is, you know, trying to get away from is... They want to have interaction. They don't want one person just playing Magic for 20 minutes, you know, doing their turns, while the other person just sits there and watches.
All right. Now, so kind of the last category we've talked about is if it's too consistent. Can you think of anything else that fits that bill, either that's powerful now or might be in the future? And we kind of already mentioned Once Upon a Time, and I think that that should definitely still be on people's radar, that it could get banned out.
Now, everyone's always talking about trying to break... Treasure Cruise or Dig Through Time. Now, mm-hmm. Treasure Cruise, I don't think is really going to be a problem, because especially without all of the fetch lands and stuff like that, it's going to take a really devoted deck, you know, like the prowess decks that just kind of like what's
well,
yeah,
for I mean,
cantripping,
we are seeing
cantripping.
That with Phoenix right now.
And that's not totally broken, considering, you know, they have to be like devoted to it and they have very few threats. It's not as threat heavy. But Dig Through Time would be maybe a little bit more consistent, I would think, especially for a control deck, you know, to be able to get their, you know, their win condition, or if you're playing like the Approach of the Second Sun, that's like game over basically.
Yeah.
So it's more fair. I definitely like seeing it played now, I think it's more fair than it was in the past with fetch lands.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
so
as broken,
you're kind of you kind of skipped my topic completely. You're kind of talking about cards that are on raw power level maybe worthy of a ban. If we're going to talk about that, I think that, yeah, Dig and Treasure Cruise, I think it's fair to say that both of those are probably on WotC's watch list. I wouldn't put them high on there, because they really do have a cost to build and to play around. If I were on that topic, though, I would also have to say Oko. You know, by the time this episode comes out, Oko is probably going to be banned in Standard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a safe bet to say, and I think that's what most people are expecting. He does pretty similar things in Pioneer.
But there's a lot more answers to him with Downfall and Dreadbore and etc.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he's powerful, and it really depends if he's shutting down certain decks, certain archetypes, just because, oh, I'm playing a Weenies deck, I'm never going to beat the guy who's just making infinite 3/3s.
Yeah, yeah. And especially with, like, Pithing Needle, usually they're played with, like, four or five other Planeswalkers. So, like, if you name him with your Pithing Needle, then they bring it to Faerie and bounce your Pithing Needle back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely
so a problem. That's not fun. So, yeah, so sorry. We're talking about cards that are on, like, the watch list, right?
Yeah.
Problem cards. Saying,
yeah, and I was just trying to... The last topic, so we kind of moved on to power level, which was my last topic. The one before that I was saying is just cards that are too consistent, if you've got any more that you can think of.
Yeah, but did you think of any other ones? I just thought that made decks really consistent to be able to dig seven and then grab...
Got it. So you were working a long way back to dig through time, whereas I kind of had dig through time as a, well, it's not any of these other things, but it's very powerful, so it could be a list.
Like, I don't think it's not high, it's not, there's not a huge chance, but I think, like I said, it's on the watch list.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think of too much else. I think the only other thing we have to discuss as far as, like, hey, is this on the risk list is Copter. Because I think a lot of people still talk about, like, oh, man, it should be in every single aggro deck. And for me, I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah, I don't think it hasn't... I mean, it's shown up in a lot of the aggro decks, but it hasn't, like, slotted into every deck.
Like, it's definitely not universal. And it also, it powers out some cool strategies, which I like. All right, I'm going to go on a quick... Smuggler's Copter's rant, because I feel like I haven't gotten the chance to do that yet, and you know I love to rant about Smuggler's Copter. So people have realized one half of the equation. Half the equation is that when Copter was so powerful it needed to be banned in Standard, nothing killed it. There was no Fatal Push, there was no Abrade, there was no Lightning Strike, there was no, you know, Kolaghan's Command, Abrupt Decay, all these Teferi, all these great things that stop it now. That's half the equation, and I think that's very true. The other half of the equation is that there are other powerful things you can be doing, so it's an actual deck choice to put Copter in your deck.
Yeah.
So you're not putting Copter in your Collected Company deck.
Yeah.
Because Collected Company exists, that means you're going to play less Copter. You're not going to put Copter in your deck that really cares about Devotion because it doesn't have any pips. Mm-hmm. You're not going to put it in maybe your Humans or Spirits deck because it's not a human or a spirit. So all of these cards that are actually at a power level enough to compete, they make it so that you're not going to put it in every single aggro archetype. And that's what I really, really like about Pioneer, is that because there's so many different things that are viable, there's no just one best option. And if you're an aggro deck, there's no one best tool for that. So
that's my
Smuggler's Copter rant. I don't think that Smuggler's Copter is at all worthy of a ban.
I don't think so. It's very, 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 very low on the ban list. So I think you're totally safe.
If Teferi got banned, I think it's a card I would look at as getting stronger. So that's the only place I would be like, maybe.
Yeah. If we're talking about, like, other power level cards, I mean, we talked about, you just talked about Collected Company a little bit. I know that in the past, cards like the Reflector Mage was a really big problem card. Do you think that has a possibility of seeing the hammer like it did in Standard back in the day?
No, not at all. Again, that was just Standard. It wasn't too powerful for Standard, but if they had banned Copter and whatever else they banned at the same time, I think Emrakul at the same time, and they didn't ban something from the blue-white deck, then that would have been the only deck. It would have been like if they... it would be like if they banned Field of the Dead in Standard but didn't ban Oko, then the whole field would just be Oko decks. I think I'm funny.
I was going to say one more card that I thought is kind of powerful. Maybe it's easier to hate out, but recently, like, the Soul Flare deck seemed like crazy strong.
I'm excited about that deck. I haven't seen it do anything that I think is unfair. You know, there's kind of that and Boggles as those decks that people are going to always hate because they just beat certain decks that can never beat them. But I don't think they're unreasonable.
Okay. Because I know, like, Dredge is a lot easier to interact with. Like, it's, you get a... what do you call it? Like a Rest in Peace down, and like that deck's like screwed.
Yeah, but no one's gonna call for the, like, you know, the one guy who shows up at every modern GP with a Boggles deck. No one's like, that deck needs to get banned. They're just like, I hate that guy. All right, so that's kind of, we've kind of covered everything we're sort of saying is on our watch list.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to the other side of that I think is more important for us right now, is what is safe? What are some good decks right now that you think are perfectly reasonable to buy into? And should never really get banned.
Like decks or cards, right?
Yeah, decks or cards. I'm more going with decks because, you know, if we're just naming, like, no one's ever going to ban Rishkar. Like, but.
No, Mono Red Aggro, I think, is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to go with it.
the first place to start. Like, and then whenever anybody is getting into like a new format, aggro is always like the first place to go to. And the mono red aggro deck has a lot of uncommons as well. It makes it pretty cheap, you know. I mean, you know, and there's so many different ways to build it. You can do like the goblin route, or you can do like the quality creatures route. You know, with like you know, like we said, you can put copter in there as well. So that would be my first choice. How about you?
Yeah, you know, I think that would also be where I would have gone. The speed and consistency are really good, and you know, Matt had a really good point on our first episode, is that people always go to red aggro at the start of a new format,
mm-hmm.
but this isn't that. This deck will always be good. It just has the tools to go over anything to punish any deck that slips up a little bit. So I don't think there's a real way that, you know, they can't print something in the future that's going to make playing a Swift Spear into two Swift Spears into a Tarkas Command not a really, really good play. Or mm-hmm. if mono red, you know, Skullcrack or something else that you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
That'll definitely live on.
So I was going to say, another deck that I think is pretty safe is like pretty much any of the vehicle decks that are out there right now. Jeskai or Mardu or even like an Esper one, I think would all be pretty safe from like bannings and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. I think that they're a little bit, you know, I don't think they're super powerful right now just because it's tough to have an early curve with them sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think that's... Do you count Insol in that list?
Yeah, I guess you could probably count Insol in there as well. And I think Insol's rather safe.
Insol's one, you know, it kind of fits in that same red aggro, but
mm-hmm.
those are all, no single card in there is so high on power level that it would get banned. No combination is so consistent that it would get banned. I think that it kind of gets past a lot of the sneaky things that people don't like.
Mm-hmm. So what other stuff do you have on your list?
You know, I think that control decks aren't too unsafe. So I was going to say, if you're really looking to go for a control deck that you know is going to always be safe, don't go blue-white, because that has, you know, Teferi might be trouble, bigger mm-hmm. Teferi could be trouble. Maybe go blue-black. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, maybe they could ban Dig Through Time, but there's other draw spells, but I don't think Scarab God will get banned. I don't think any of the, you know, Thoughtseize, Liliana the Last Hope. There's a lot of good cards in there that are very strong, but not, like, problematic in the format.
Or even, like, a Jund control type. I guess it's more like Jund to midrange, but, like, Jund would be fine. I think Grixis is probably safe as well. Like, all your Nicol Bolas, you know, like type decks, I think, would be fine. Like we said before, Boggles is probably fine if you wanted to build that. What about Blue-Red Phoenix?
No, I think that one's a little bit more risky. You know, it's currently doing very well, which makes it a little scary, and it's doing well based largely on one very powerful card in Treasure Cruise. I think that losing that card makes that deck more risky.
Uh-huh.
Overall, it could probably survive that, but it'd be tricky. I think if you're going to buy into that deck, maybe test it out online or, you know, borrow it from a friend, and maybe even try it without Treasure Cruise, see if it still can be reasonable.
And you also said that Reflector Mage wasn't that big of a problem. So would you also say that most collected company decks, if not all of the collected company decks, would be safe?
Yes, I would say all of the collected company decks are on my list, 100%. That's a good place to go.
So humans, value. Humans,
definitely. Spirits is doing very well. You know, value.
Elves is kind of a collected company deck. That would probably be okay. Yeah.
Rally, so probably, if you're playing.
Yeah. I mean, collected company / rally. Rally kind of works into that as well, right?
All right, so here's a tougher way to go. What if you're a combo player? What if you really like combo decks? Is there a great place to go that's good in the meta now, will be good in the meta in the future, and doesn't really have much risk of bans?
Yeah, let's see. Combos are always kind of like in a scary place. Like, I think they're totally necessary if you're, you know, trying to create a balanced, a fun, you know, like metagame. You know, like people always had to respect the Splinter Twin combo, you know, in Modern and stuff like that. You got to have a combo deck there to be like the boogeyman for control, you know what I mean? To be able to fight against that. But, I mean, Jeskai Ascendancy just seems a little risky to me.
Yeah, any of the Jeskai Ascendancy ones, a little bit scary. And I don't think anything, you know, that and Nexus, I think, are both a little bit scary, and those would be what jump to mind as the biggest, you know, very strong combo decks right now.
And I think there's just so much more exploring left to be done. Like, that person that just found the Possibility Storm deck. There's going to be more decks like that out there in the coming months, and we're going to, you know, learn about more combo decks. So right now, as far as known combos, maybe not, but I think there will be some type of combo deck out there in the future.
There's like maybe like the Jeskai Fires deck. You know, I like talking about the deck. It's kind of my pet deck, but I think that
Timmy Control is
probably not getting banned anywhere.
Yeah. I think, you know, also like the dragons for like control as well would probably be fine. Like if you are looking for different ways to play control that don't use Teferi and whatnot.
Sure, I can see that.
I think Dredge is kind of safe just because there's so much hate for it.
Yeah, and I think that the kind of decks that have tools that are easy to fight against them, and we really have a lot of graveyard tools, those kind of self-police them, is that if they ever get good, it's really easy to hate it. Whereas if, you know, say Healy is really good, there's only so many ways to fight it. You know, Oko's so good, there's only ways to fight it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that makes them... Now, how about if you do like Planeswalkers? Are there any good like Planeswalker Super Friends decks that won't be at risk at all?
Oh, I mean, I'm playing like a Mardu Planeswalker midrange deck. You know, Gideons and Sorins and Lilianas and I forgot who else is in there, but there's a couple of them. And I think those types of decks are totally fine. You know, depending on whichever color you want to build it with. If you wanted to do like a Jund one with like Vraska and Liliana, that would totally work as well. I think those types of Planeswalker decks are totally fine. Anything probably non-Teferi.
Okay.
Is probably safe.
So, all right, I got a couple more that are on my list. I included Scales, I think, on that list.
Yeah.
Like right now, that's a good shell. There's not really anything in there that is at risk. The other one I would say is like the black aggro decks. You know, Mono Black Vampires is kind of a popular one. That, the only thing I could see getting banned would be like Thoughtseize. I don't know if it's a huge problem.
I think Thoughtseize is kind of safe just because it keeps people honest.
I think it's reasonably safe. I wouldn't worry about buying Thoughtseize right now. That's the only thing in the deck that I'm like, it could get beaten out because of sins of other decks.
Yeah. I mean, back in the past when we had Devotion, and like we had Abzan was another one that was really good in, you know, just because there was not really great ways to get card advantage. And now I feel like there's just so many different great ways to get card advantage. And people just have to easily switch to like, you know, what was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, you know, like add a Tireless Tracker or something like that into their deck.
You know, that's something else nice you can do. Like, if you really like the Oko, like the Sultai Oko decks right now, maybe buy into green-black, because even if Oko gets banned, the shell of that deck is really green-black. You could go into Abzan instead. You could go into Jund instead, and that part of it will probably live on.
Yeah, like your Abrupt Decays will be fine. Your Assassin Trophies will be fine. So...
All right, if you can think of any more, or if you guys who are listening at home can think of any, tweet out at us. We'd love to hear what you guys think are some decks that are good to buy into right now. You know, send us your deck list. We're happy to critique. You can find us at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. You can also find our Discord. You can find the Reddit MTG Pioneer as well.
There's also a Facebook group. I think it's called Pioneer MTG that you can join. I think we have like something like 4,000 members now. It's crazy.
Oh, man, awesome.
And also, if you want to contact me, you can contact me at, let's see, is it at Yoshwenky, which is Yoschwenky. You can find me on there. Okay, so here's the Facebook group. It's called Magic Pioneer Format. So you can do that.
Awesome.
Yeah. But I believe that is only thing I need to say. I'm good. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. So I'm going to be off next week. Hopefully, you and Matt are going to be able to record an episode together. Maybe,
hopefully.
Let me know how it goes, and then I'll be getting back just after the, I'll be back in the night to hear about how the SCG Con went. So hopefully everyone's watching that, listening to that. That's going to be really exciting to see the first, like, really heavily broadcast tournament with Pioneer heavily featured.
I'm psyched. I'm happy.
Very excited. So that brings us to the end of our show here. We are the first Pioneers, the first ones delving into everything that is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.